born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, The Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning in or playing the podcast of The Winds of Change. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? Father Coy's with you here for some brain wrinkling. And
I am
it's
the gift.
Going to be, I am your gift in this podcast, in this radio hour. And it is good to have your brain wrinkled because the world is wrinkling our brain left and right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's a brain wrinkling hour. And I'm so, so tired of so much of the silliness, craziness going on about us. It's taking more and more effort to rise above it or stay under it or whatever other analogy we want to use. But it's the COVID in our face. It's the fear of riots in our cities. And within our church, it's a crazy abandonment of what needs to be held on to. We can't give away the kernels of wisdom that have come down to us through 2,000 years of Catholic history, founded on Jesus Christ and those early apostles. And yet, those things are on our mind here today. So. Election is still unsettled. We'll get around to that. And what I'll start with and come around to, the sense of two governments battling it out, battle for the American soul and battle for the soul of the church.
Wow. Wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, there is, and some of us have felt it for years. I'm sure some of you, my listeners, are in that camp with me. We feel it, and it's bubbling up to a new kind of high temperature, as it were. One of the phrases associated with it is this great reset. Maybe you've heard about that. A great reset. It is the a long range plan for many of the secularists and atheists and agnostics for resetting the modern world. It is plain and simple a revolution not unlike the French Revolution that wanted to reset the modern world after taking down the monarchy. It's a strange combination between wanting to take down the monarchy meant you had to take down the church, or taking down the church meant you had to take down the monarchy. Either way you look at it, the monarchy and the Catholic Church had to go. That was in essence part of what the French Revolution saw was necessary, and the popularity of it was certainly popular, but not absolute. There were definitely resistance, and there was definitely people that thought the way the French revolutionaries went about it were cruel, were evil, were vicious. Certainly they were. So I thought in reference to the reset, I thought it would be good to revisit the letter, what's called the appeal for the church and the world to Catholics and all people of goodwill. Maybe you might remember, I think maybe I quoted it back in May when it came out. And the words are even more significant or more pertinent today than even back in May. Why? Because doctors and the scientific community know a heck of a lot more about the coronavirus than they did back in May. And obviously in May, they knew more than they did back in March. Science has a way of investigating and uncovering a lot of facts. But scientists often will argue about the strategy and the morality that can and often does follow great health issues. So let's review. I got to read some of this. This is from Cardinal Burke and Mueller, Archbishop Strickland, a number of, in the introduction, they kind of say who's to blame for this appeal. And I think it's still possible just to go online, look for it, and sign it if you're in agreement with it. It's getting more and more evident. The evidence, don't you shake your head when you're hearing all the evidence of corruption in voting tabulation, and the phrase is constantly repeated. There's no.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat, no doubt about it. But let's review what these cardinals and bishops have said. They said this. I'll start. In this time of great crisis, we pastors of the Catholic Church, by virtue of our mandate, consider it our sacred duty to make an appeal to our brothers in the episcopate, to the clergy, to religious, to holy people of God, and to all men and women of goodwill. That kind of captures everybody, doesn't it? Well, those who are not of goodwill will not have to listen. They're not appealing to you if you're one of them. Hopefully we don't have too many listeners that are men and women of evil will, right? So anyways, we go on. This appeal has also been undersigned by intellectuals, professors, medical doctors, doctors of the law, journalists, and professionals who agree with its content, and may be undersigned by those who wish to make it their own. That's what's up to you as you listen to their words, my friends. They go on. The facts have shown that under the pretext of the COVID-19 epidemic, the inalienable rights of citizens have in many cases been violated, and their fundamental freedoms, including the exercise of the freedom to worship, the freedom of expression, and the freedom of movement, have been disproportionately and unjustifiably restricted. Public health, they say, must not and cannot become an alibi for infringing on the rights of millions of people around the world, let alone for depriving the civil authority of its duty to act wisely for the common good. This is particularly true as growing doubts emerge from several quarters about the actual contagiousness, danger, and resistance of the virus. Many authoritative voices in the world of science and medicine confirm that the media's alarmism about COVID-19 appears to be absolutely unjustified.
Danger, Will Robinson! Danger! No, Will Robinson! Danger!
That would be the robot from Lost in Space signaling that there is danger afoot to the crew of the lost ship on whatever unknown planet they happen to find themselves in and lost in space, right? But what the Cardinals are saying is that we have to take a second look at the way that the alarm is being sounded now. There is so much more evidence that there is a lot of treatable medications, and they call them therapeutics. Give me some therapy for this, therapeutics, because it's not all just medicine. The hydroxychloroquine with zinc has been shown by so many doctors to be of help. Or especially the thing that gets under my skin is that patients or people that are starting to get symptoms are told to stay home or not to see their doctor. People who are starting to see their symptoms should contact their doctor as soon as possible, and they should be given hydroxychloroquine and other therapeutics that are being discovered, being promoted by so many doctors throughout the world. There was a recently, this what I'm reading to you is from May, but just recently in October, there was many hundreds, if not thousands, of medical professionals and heads of epidemiology departments in major universities that were saying, we have to rethink the lockdown strategy that is so prevalent throughout the world today.
Wow.
So.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's incredibly brain wrinkling. But you have to listen. Okay, so stay seated and stay tuned here. We have reason to believe, on the basis of official data, on the incidence of the epidemic as related to the number of deaths, that there are powers interested in creating panic among the world's population with the sole aim of permanently imposing unacceptable forms of restriction on freedoms, of controlling people, and of tracking their movements. The imposition of these illiberal measures is a disturbing prelude to the realization of a world government beyond all control. This is what blows my mind so much. I'm stopping the reading for a second. That whenever people accuse the president, President Trump, of being a Nazi or a fascist or a tyrant, he's the one trying to prevent these tyrannical moves that the people like George Soros or even Bill Gates and others such as they are certainly in favor of, certainly. So let's continue with the Cardinals. We also believe that in some situations, the containment measures that were adopted, including the closure of shops and businesses, have precipitated a crisis that has brought down entire sectors of the economy. This encourages interference by foreign powers and has serious social and political repercussions. Those with governmental responsibility must stop these forms of social engineering by taking measures to protect their citizens whom they represent and in whose interest they have a serious obligation to act. Likewise, let them help the family, the cell of society, by not unreasonably penalizing the weak and elderly, forcing them into a painful separation from their loved ones. The criminalization of personal and social relationships must likewise be judged as an unacceptable part of the plan of those who advocate isolating individuals in order to better manipulate and control them. We ask the scientific community to be vigilant so that cures for COVID-19 are offered in honesty for the common good. Every effort must be made to ensure that shady business interests do not influence the choices made by government leaders and international bodies. They don't spell it out here, friends, but I'm going to stop for a second. And that is the incredible contrast between holding out for a vaccine that will cost thousands of dollars per dosage and the companies that stand to make billions of dollars versus a therapeutic that costs virtually a few dollars, that hydroxychloroquine. And I know the criticism that doesn't always work, and there are some cases of heart problems associated with it, but the percentage is so low as to counsel a different approach, to counsel the using of such things. There's a scene in one of my favorite movies, John Adams, you know, the HBO John Adams series. This is back in the 1700s, of course, in the time of the American Revolution. And the children, the diseases was spreading around the colonies. And it was a primitive form of vaccination where you take a pus from somebody who is already sick and you introduce it into your bloodstream. And that was a way to try to prevent the person from dying of if it was smallpox or something like that. And of course, some who did take it, unfortunately, did die. But in many cases, it did the trick. It did the job.
On Wednesday, October 21st through Friday, October 23rd. St. Stanislaus Kostka.
There's our fearless leader, Armand. We're going to take a break, Nick. I'll stop it here, and we will take a break, and we will come back. But you are listening to The Winds of Change on WNDZ, listener-supported and the powerhouse of the Chicagoland area. God bless you. We'll be right
back.
Here's
some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyce here, listener-supported, The Winds of Change. And I'm reading this appeal from a number of cardinals, bishops, professors, lawyers, and all sorts of folks that are trying to offer a different perspective on the pandemic especially, but also this what's called a reset, a great reset. We have to let that word sink in. Just I translate it. I think it's a synonym today for revolution. And we can see that's connected to a coup. There's a coup taking place. We have to be aware of those things around us. But let's listen to what the cardinals say here. It is unreasonable to penalize those remedies that have proven to be effective and are often inexpensive just because one wishes to give priority to treatments or vaccines that are not as good, but which guarantee pharmaceutical companies far greater profits and exacerbate public health expenditures. Let us also remember, as pastors, that for Catholics, it is morally unacceptable to develop or use vaccines derived from material from aborted fetuses. Key factor, my friends. We don't want to accept that. It is better to offer a self-sacrificial spirit instead of requiring the sacrificial lambs of others for ourselves. That's exactly, of course, what abortion does. So we also ask government leaders to ensure that forms of control over people, whether through tracking systems or any other form of locating, finding devices, are rigorously avoided. I heard that, I'm going to stop for a second. I heard that they are in, maybe it's Sweden or Denmark, one of those countries of the Northern Europe. They are offering plants for chips in people's hands. And a lot of the young people sort of like them, because they could walk up to their ATM machine, wave their hand, and they don't have to remember passwords. Now, I'm the first one to admit that passwords are the bane of modern existence, right? We all have some of these password applications, utilities do help in a lot of ways, but they're still a pain. But my friends, is the answer having the companies that run the chips know so much about your whereabouts and have all your information? It's too Big Brother, for those of you who read 1984. It's too much the loss of the sovereignty of the individual. And of course, that is one of the key aspects of communism, pure and simple. The state, all people have to undergo that great transformation, that the state is the greater good over the individual. And of course, we know, everybody knows, every society, every country knows that many times that's in conflict. And sometimes you do sacrifice yourself for a greater good, like every soldier knows, and those who have died live it, or have paid for it with their blood. But you don't proclaim that as the ruling theory, the ruling philosophy, ideology of your society in general. It's a kind of the communist mentality is. It's a kind of acceptance that human nature, human society, is a society at constant war. There can be no peace, since mankind has engaged in so many wars through so many centuries that there is no hope for peace unless freedom is taken away by those who will achieve the peace. That's let me segue away from the appeal here for a minute, because that certainly reminds me, as I skip to the election debacle, I'll make this prediction, my friends. Number one, at this point, I am hoping and praying that President Trump's the vast team of lawyers will be able to expose the fraud and corruption that was part of the election process for what it is. To live in Chicago, especially, and many of the big cities, and to turn a blind eye to political corruption is we've been trained. We've been trained to do it. We accept it in a way that is sad. Turning a blind eye, my follow-up prediction would be if the lawyers can't pull it off and the cheating politicians pull it off and Biden is installed January 20th, if that happens, there will be a period of peace. There will be a period of peace in the sense of, remember Pax Romano? Remember that phrase? Maybe you had it in school and somewhere along the line. Rome was definitely applauded by humanity, even by many historians, because the Roman system, with the Roman emperor at the top, created a kind of peace, and their people liked Roman peace. However, if you know the story of Christ, you know the story of Jews, that peace was the power behind the peace was the Roman Empire that wanted to stomp out the Israelites, the Jewish people, as well as, of course, the new Christians, both of whom refused to accept, number one, the emperor as a god, and number two, the equality of all religions.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is. So I'm saying, I could see if Biden gets in, there will be a Pax Romano for a time, because they will be able to put our fears aside about the pandemic. They will be able to administer and help get through the vaccines, even though 100% of the people will not take them. But then when they declare it's right, they will declare the epidemic over, and then they will be able to say, look, people, we accomplished what the incompetent previous president was unable to accomplish. That spirit of a new spirit of peace will come about. But it won't last for long, my friends, because the inner fighting that is more a part of identity politics, communistic ideology, will resurface, the battles that will begin are only going to make that Pax Romano short-lived. So let's go back to the Cardinals here as they continue this appeal. I just think it's worth our remembering and revisiting. The fight against COVID-19, however serious, must not be the pretext for supporting the hidden intentions of supranatural bodies that have supranational. That's much different. Supranational bodies, like the UN, that have very strong commercial and political interests in this plan. In particular, citizens must be given the opportunity to refuse these restrictions on personal freedom without any penalty whatsoever being imposed on those who do not wish to use vaccines, contact tracking, or any other similar tool. Let us also consider the blatant contradiction of those who pursue policies of drastic population control and at the same time present themselves as the savior of humanity without any political or social legitimacy. Finally, the political responsibility of those who represent the people can in no way be left to experts who can indeed claim a kind of immunity from prosecution, which is disturbing to say the least. So, should I keep going a little bit more, Nick? A little bit more. Let me take it. We got a few more paragraphs here from the Cardinals. We strongly urge those in the media to commit themselves to providing accurate information and not penalizing dissent by resorting to forms of censorship, as is happening widely on social media, in the press, and on television. Stop the quote for a second. Hey, my friends, I'm going to join the chorus of people saying, get on Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Parler is a Twitter-like form. Twitter-like, and it's sort of like Facebook. I think you could do away with Twitter, and you can do away with Facebook, although the video screens or are a little easier in Facebook, but that will come with Parler. Parler is more owned and operated by people who are more in the traditional moral camp, as it were. One of the founders of Parler was kicked off of either Facebook or Twitter because they mentioned that the Muslim representative, I can't remember her name, in Minnesota, he said that Muslims hate or despise, for whatever word he used, he might have used the word hate, but Jewish people. Now, of course, that's a blanket statement, and it's, you could call it incendiary, but to say there's no truth in it is to deny the great wars and the tremendous amount of violence that has taken place. You listen to someone like Malcolm X, and it's hard to deny that they do not, that they love the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Anyways, this allows citizens to consciously assess the facts without being heavily influenced by partisan interventions. A democratic and honest debate is the best antidote to the risk of imposing subtle forms of dictatorship, presumably worse than those our society has seen rise and fall in the recent past. Finally, as pastors responsible for the flock of Christ, let us remember that the church firmly asserts her autonomy to govern, worship, and teach. This autonomy and freedom are an innate right that our Lord Jesus Christ has given her for the pursuit of her proper ends. For this reason, as pastors, we firmly assert the right to decide autonomously on the celebration of Mass and the sacraments, just as we claim absolute autonomy in matters falling within our own immediate jurisdiction, such as liturgical norms and ways of administering communion and the sacraments. The state has no right to interfere for any reason whatsoever in the sovereignty of the church, ecclesiastical authorities have never refused to collaborate with the state, but such collaboration does not authorize civil authorities to impose any sort of ban or restriction on public worship or the exercise of priestly ministry. The rights of God and of the faithful are the supreme law of the Church, which he neither intends to nor can abdicate. We ask that restrictions on the celebration of public ceremonies be removed. We should like to invite all people of goodwill not to shirk their duty to cooperate for the common good, each according to his or her own state and possibilities, and in a spirit of fraternal charity. The Church desires such cooperation, but this cannot disregard either a respect for the natural law or a guarantee of individual freedoms. The civil duties to which citizens are bound imply the state's recognition of their rights. We are all called to assess the current situation in a way consistent with the teachings of the gospel. This means taking a stand either with Christ or against Christ.
Wow. You just wrinkle my brain, man.
Indeed, indeed it is. Let us not be intimidated or frightened by those who have us believe that we are a minority. Good is much more widespread and powerful than the world would have us believe. We are fighting against an invisible enemy that seeks to divide citizens, to separate children from their parents, grandchildren and their grandparents, the faithful from their pastors, students from teachers, and customers from vendors. Let us not allow centuries of Christian civilization to be erased under the pretext of a virus and an odious technological tyranny to be established in which nameless and faceless people can decide the fate of the world by confining us to a virtual reality. If this is the plan to which the powers of the earth intend to make us yield, know that Jesus Christ, King and Lord of history, has promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let us entrust government leaders and all those who rule over the fate of nations to Almighty God, that he may enlighten and guide them in this time of great crisis. May they remember that just as the Lord will judge us pastors for the flock which he has entrusted to us, so will he also judge government leaders for the peoples whom they have the duty to defend and govern. With faith, let us beseech the Lord to protect the Church and the world. May the Blessed Virgin, help of Christians, crush the head of the ancient serpent and defeat the plans of the children of darkness. Indeed, indeed. That's such a powerful statement, my friends, and it's powerful today, 5 months after it was given to us back by a whole group of cardinals, archbishops, bishops, intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, people of goodwill. Let's take a break, my friends, and we'll come back again with the analysis of the Great Reset. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here is Father Tom Loya with some Byzantine spirituality about the mask.
I certainly long for the day when we will no longer have to wear these masks. You know, as a priest, one of the things that bothers me about these masks, I know we have to wear them, is that we're made in the image and likeness of God. And that image comes through what's called our countenance. In other words, our face. See, the eyes are the window to the soul. But you need the whole face to reveal the countenance. It's that inner Christ shining within us, that goodness, the fundamental goodness of the human person as we were made in the image and likeness of God. It comes through our face. The other thing I miss because of these masks is something that's very therapeutic. a simple smile. But in the meantime, what we don't want to do, we don't want to mask our zeal, our hearts, our sincerity. We don't want to mask that from God or from anybody. Open your heart to God. Reveal everything to Him. You know, the word mask actually comes from a Greek word which has to do with being fake or phony. We can't be fake or phony. Be true to who you are, especially before God. Just tell Him whatever is on your mind, even if it's anger, if it's something glorious, whatever. Unmask your heart to God, especially now. Unmask your zeal in your heart when you come to worship. Yeah, we have to wear masks in church and so on like that, but unmask the zeal that's in your heart. Unmask your sincerity before one another, before God. Because there are certain things that no one, no government, no doctor, no expert, no nobody can take from us or impose on us unless we let them.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Kind of a powerful, somber warning and appeal by I just read to you up to now. Now I want to share with you some comments about it. And there's a very interesting blog by Mark Millett called The Now Word, Reflections on Our Time. And he's commenting on this concept of a great reset, which is what I want you to accept as a revolution on par with the French Revolution, the Protestant Revolution. We're experiencing it today. And it's something to be concerned of course, to get through it with a greater understanding of health issues as well as the way government operates in our lives. One of the things that I constantly think of before I get to Mark, his comments, is that this great reset or globalization and a lot of things that come from, shall we say, the leftist ideology, they have a sliver of Catholicism in them. Let me name a few. There's something that is appealing to the human heart by people that really is found in Catholicism, but there's a great problem in the sense that it's not, Catholicism is not bought into fully. It's one slice of something that Catholicism has produced, and it's been seen to be good, and so, we want that, but we don't want the other part of it, especially the personal moral part of it. One of the slices, of course, is the idea that the church sees itself as universal. The very word Catholic is obviously, if you know a little of that, catechism is the Greek word for universal. Catholicism is universal, meaning that Jesus didn't want to set up many churches. He wanted one church for the whole world. And so there is in Catholicism, a slice of globalism, which is somewhat of an antidote for nationalism. If nationalism in a person's mind and heart rises to the supreme good, summum bonum, as it were, you don't get that in President Trump's spirit of national sovereignty and his nationalistic spirit. He's accused of being Nazi, Nazi-like, because Hitler used a kind of, not a kind of, he used nationalism combined with his socialism. But his brand was absolutely anti-Catholic, and he saw the religions that maintained these objective, absolute moral standards, as it were, as part of the problem. So globalism is a little slice of Catholicism that the new revolution reset people are are seeing. But of course, they don't want the rest of it. They don't want the rest of Catholicism. Even the anti-family, they're not necessarily going to. Well, many people in the progressive side of things will agree with the Antifa call to do away with the nuclear family as we know it. And I'll even acquiesce the sense that in Catholicism, there's a little of that spirit in two ways it's especially seen. One is in religious communities, right? We have come up with, we Catholics, have come up with a lot of communities in which we call people brother and sister. After all, that's what convents and monasteries have. And we call priests father, and they don't have biological children. So there's something in Christ's message that says, okay, you can certainly discover a brotherhood of humanity that is rooted not in blood relations, but in, the blood of Jesus. And that seems to be what attracts. So I could picture the let us say, the liberal-minded gay young man who comes home from college and says, I hate going home to Thanksgiving dinner because these people aren't my family. They don't appreciate me for who I am. So I'll go to my friends who hang out at the gay bars and the parties. Those are my real, that's my real family. My biological family, I disown. That kind of attitude surfaces within many community people, and the non-gay members of the family don't like it, and so they quickly acquiesce and say, "Hey, don't worry, come back. We want you as part of the family." You know, I was discussing the gay rights issue with somebody, and the comment came about, "Well, whatever makes them happy, that's what is the principle we should live by." And I had to interject because I was talking with this person a great deal about how mad and frustrated it was a woman because her boyfriend so often cheated on her. And so after a long while of trying to figure out how do you get over someone cheating on you, and it's hard. It is very hard. And there's this spirit of what love is supposed to be, how you're supposed to be able to use your body and how you're not supposed to be able to use your body. And so she mentioned she defends gay rights because she believes that everyone should be able to do whatever makes them happy. To which I interjected, I don't believe you really believe that. Because we just spent 2 hours talking about how mad you are about your boyfriend cheating on you. And if you really believed everyone should be able to do what makes them happy or what they want to do, then you should be happy that your boyfriend did what he wanted to do and did what he thought would make him happy. It breaks down that the theory, let everyone do what makes them happy or let them do what they want to do if it doesn't hurt anybody. It breaks down the wisdom of that moral axiom, as us philosophers would call it. So the other area you find in Catholicism that sort of strokes the idea of a family beyond the biological family is our belief and understanding of baptism, pure and simple. When you're baptized, you become a son or daughter of God. And I've often used I have to know who I could use this dry sense of humor with at a baptism ceremony. But if you've been at one of my baptism ceremonies and you heard me use this dry sense of humor, you might.
Wow.
You just wrinkle my brain, man.
You might scratch your head a little bit, but sometimes I'll say at a baptism, I got some good news and bad news for the family here. Ooh, what's that, you know? What do you want to hear first, the good news or the bad news? Well, give us the bad news first. And I'll say, bad news is the little baby here that we're going to be baptizing. And John, you standing next to the woman next to you holding the baby, your wife, John's not the real father. And if I know the people well enough, they know I'm joking. Although I can't use that if there is any doubt and what have you. But and I use that, everybody goes, ooh, what do you mean? Oh, that's terrible. And the evil eyes is cast upon John, and I say, no, I don't mean that. John and Mary did have this child by natural means, and in one sense, they are the real parents. But we're here to baptize this child because we're here to say that God is the real father of us all. And baptizing a child is one of the ways that we recognize the ultimate fatherhood of God and our natural biological fatherhood is a poor imitation of the true fatherhood of God himself. So anyways, that there's these slivers of Catholicism in the reset button, but it falls apart because it's trying to take a few of these slivers without the moral framework that needs to go along with it. Kind of like trying to build a house using good bricks, but you don't use any mortar. You build a nice tall wall or a building, and you don't put cement in between the bricks. It's going to fall apart. And so it's a whole package kind of thing. Anyways, let me read with a little bit of time we have left here. From Mark Millett's blog on the Great Reset. What I just read to you, the appeal for the church and the world, those signatures were Cardinal Joseph Zen, Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, who is the prefect emeritus of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, not a simple post. It was the same post that Cardinal Ratzinger had during John Paul II's pontificate. Bishop Strickland, wonderful bishop in the United States, Stephen Mosier, who's president of the Population Research Institute, and many others. So we'll go on. After 15 years, this is what Mark says, after 15 years of being stationed on the rampart in response to John Paul II's call to the young to become morning watchmen at the dawn of the new millennium, morning watchmen at the dawn of the new millennium, meaning that a new era of peace, a new era of prosperity, a new era of strength for the church can indeed come, but be careful that it's not hijacked, that it's not poisoned, as it were. So three key books here echo what the bishops said in the appeal. One book, The Pandemic of Control, R1942, meaning it's kind of like a huge war, a fight going on, and the Great Reset. As the call for mandatory vaccines ramps up, as companies like Ticketmaster say they will soon require you to verify proof of vaccination or a recent negative test for COVID-19 using a digital health pass to be admitted to events. As countries begin to threaten financial and criminal penalties for spreading fake news, that's what they're calling it, regarding vaccines. Let us say they say these vaccines were created with aborted fetuses, and someone says that, you will be penalized or criminalized because you're fake news. Of course, you're just telling the truth in many, many instances. I pray not in all, but I'm sure in some. I find it stunning how 2,000 years ago, St. John penned these words in the book of Revelation regarding Babylon that could only be understood at this hour. Your merchants were great men of the earth. all nations were led astray by your sorcery. Revelation 18, verse 23. Sorcery, right. That's now that conjures up images of witches and witchcraft and all the rest, right? But of course, sorcery, the Greek word for sorcery, pharmakia, obviously where we get pharmacy, the use of medicine, drugs, or spells. As I wrote in The Pandemic of Control, it is precisely these faceless powers controlling pharmaceuticals, agriculture, and food production that are now calling the shots for governments around the world. He quotes himself in that book, "We think of the great powers of the present day, of the anonymous financial interests which turn men into slaves, which are no longer human beings, but are an anonymous power which men serve, by which men are tormented and even slaughtered. They are a destructive force, a power that menaces the world." A quote from Pope Benedict XVI. I am left startled when I reread the following words penned some 14 years ago in The Great Meshing. It is nearly complete. Those are the words that rang in my heart this weekend as I pondered the tremendous shift away from the gospel in North America during the past few weeks. Those words were accompanied by the image of several machines with gears. These machines, political, economical, and social, operating throughout the world, have been running independently for several decades, if not centuries. But I could see in my heart their convergence. The machines are all in place, about to mesh into one global machine called totalitarianism. The meshing will be seamless, quiet, barely noticed, deceptive. What is nearly complete is the apparatus to bring about what global leaders are harmoniously calling the Great Reset. Sadly, one of the gears in this reset will be an anti-church. The final sifting. It has long been said by many clergy and even within private revelation that Freemasonry and communist agents have infiltrated not only the Catholic Church, but all religions. In an interview on September 29th, 1978, with Father Francis Benach, S.J., alleged Garibandal seer Marley Lowley warned that communism was going to return someday and what would happen when it did. She says, "Our Lady spoke several times about communism. I don't remember how many times, but she said that a time would come when it would seem that communism had mastered or engulfed the whole world. I think it was then that she told us that priests would have difficulty saying Mass and talking about God and divine things. When the church suffers confusion, the people are going to suffer too. Some priests who are communists will create such confusion that people will not know right from wrong." Wow. Crazy, isn't it? Well, there's that music, and we just scratched the surface. Let me say this. I hope if it scares you a little bit, it makes you pause, it makes you wonder. Of course, no one knows exactly what's going to happen, but pray hard, my friends. And let's pray that the forces of good, and especially that President Trump, who's trying to stand against a lot of these forces, will prevail. He needs our prayers. Our country needs our prayers. Our church needs our prayers. God love you for listening. What's there to You've been listening to WNDZ. The world makes no sense. Do we I'm Father Tom truth, God bless you.
Or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The